You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Incredible.
Great.
Wide open. Wide open! And Smith, what a way to do it!
See, big number seven, now he comes in motion. Breeze downfield, and in stride is Smith again!
Ah, yes, it's Drew Brees celebration day. As
I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one who thinks.
I'm in the middle of opening up hour three, and you throw your phone in my face, and you start pointing at it like some revelation just happened.
Fat hand.
What is it?
Fat hand on Twitter. Why are there two footballs? Wouldn't it surprise me to find that the Saints used two footballs with how wide open their receivers were last night?
That's what you just interrupted me for.
Uh huh. Because he's asking why they're two football.
Even Mike Triplett at the top of the hour texts us. He goes, dude, one's the completion percentage.
Let me see the text.
It's right here. No, I'm not. Here you go. There you go. Mike Triplett. Completion record. Again, you would know if you zoomed in.
You called me a joke.
Well, because you're a joke. Read the... Well, look, I'll give you this. It was a quickly put up display.
Yeah, it looks like you're going there to collect dust.
No, he's pointing out that Tom Brady behind the display has got this massive fat head looking picture.
With only his shoes.
I get it. It's coming. It happened last night. It hasn't been 24 hours. It's coming.
Those two articles on the bottom look like they were just printed from my printer at home.
Again, it probably was. But they're going, it's a bigger and better display with the, you know what? I'm not even arguing with you. Conspiracy.
I'm trying not to complain.
Next time
you
have something to report to us, zoom into the picture and you can see why the two footballs are there rather than some conspiracy.
I'd like to see
theory.
What Peyton Manning's looked like when he broke the record.
Oh my. Glenn Gilbo, Gannett News Services, USA Today, covers the Tigers and the Saints. Let's just steer away from this conversation of conspiracy here. And, Glenn.
I wasn't able to argue about it.
We
were both very passionate.
Well, okay. The Pro Football Hall of Fame tweets the picture of the display with Drew Brees, the jersey, the cleats, and there's two footballs in the case. And Jordan's like, why are there two footballs? And now everyone is on the thread wondering why there's two footballs. If they zoomed in, there's a description under each ball with a picture of Drew Brees.
One
yes.
For yards.
Yes. Thank you. Not difficult. Exactly.
Whatever.
Glenn, your perspective. We just spoke with Fletcher a little bit ago. He puts it up there with Hartley kicking the Saints into the Super Bowl, the Gleason moment. You know, man, you could throw in Akeem drops the ball and stuff. He goes with the whole totality aspect of the fact that what he's meant to this organization post-Katrina, the works, one of the biggest moments in the dome. How would you put that record last night?
I would say it's right up there because of just the way it felt last night being in the dome. It felt like the NFC Championship game, you know, or that first game back after Katrina. It just had the special feeling to it, and it was like, you know, it was like the opponent, didn't matter who the opponent was, they just didn't have a chance. And you know, I know a lot of there was quite a few people who followed the Saints who thought the Redskins were either going to win or the Saints were going to win a close game, and they just blew them away. I mean, it was only close for a little while, and I mean, the Saints lose Lattimore to a concussion, and they look a lot better on defense at quarterback. And Ingram looked good. You know, I mean, it was just a perfect night, and everything with the record was perfect. It looked almost like it was choreographed, but not all of it was. But the other thing is, you know, the Saints just looked really good. It looked like that team that had Super Bowl projections before the season that slipped off at the opener. They just really looked like they're back on track.
Glenn, you're the second person this morning one this morning and you this afternoon that mentioned that. You said that, you know what? That's the first time this season they look like a Super Bowl team. And obviously a lot of it has to do, and look, we'll get into it. Now you have a week off about the play of the defense. Last three games, Glenn, 39 yards rushing. They held the Redskins last night. The Giants were 65, Falcons 48. So that's three straight games they've held the team under 100 yards rushing. You saw some pressure. You saw an interception the last 2 weeks out of the secondary as well. That defense starts to come along. What we saw about this offense yesterday, which was the inclusion of Tre'Quan Smith, the inclusion of Cameron Meredith, the addition back of Mark Ingram, Watson catching some passes. I mean, it really is a plethora of weapons for Drew Brees.
And they didn't even need Alvin Kamara.
Right.
He took a little night off, which just tells you how strong they can be when they don't have to have a go-to guy, the same guy, every game. And, even when the Saints win big games, Peyton is not one to really just overly praise his team. You know, he usually brings up something that was wrong, and he was really, I thought, throwing out the praise. You know, he said that it looked like his team had the open
the
week.
Bye. Right,
so
exactly.
Sharp. Yeah, so sharp coming in. And, you know, he mentioned that they had never, he couldn't remember the last time they went through a game without punting. And he called the team fantastic, you know. He doesn't use that word much talking about the whole team after a game. So I thought he was kind of blown away, too, in addition to the Brees night. So, you know, and maybe it's not good that they have an open week. Now, it's good for Brees. He can celebrate with that tequila he got. But,
I know.
When you're playing like that, you don't want an open week sometimes.
I'll tell you, that was pretty fun actually seeing the opportunity of being, you know, just to have that record. I love the tribute video from Peyton Manning, right? I mean, isn't that just that it's really what you know him for too, and I love the comedy and humor on it, but it just really adds to it, man. He's number one, and Glenn, I don't see him not adding or getting close to, I thought, would be 5,000 yards this year and just adding to this record.
Yeah, and I mean, look, he's 39, and there was a couple of national writers the last couple of years that he's showing signs of age, but people forget he's never a big arm quarterback to begin with, neither was Joe Montana. But, you know, and last night, he has his career best completion percentage night. You know, almost 90%. He had a quarterback rating off the charts, and he's been doing that a lot. You know, so he just doesn't seem like he's 39. Yeah. And boy, you talk about just live up to the moment. I mean, most people were thinking, oh, he'll pass the record in the third quarter. You know, and he blows it away with a 62-yard pass.
Right. I think it was crazy. I was going to say, Glenn, what was crazy to me, too, is from Jordan to Fletcher and a handful of other reporters, obviously, in the press box, everyone captured it, which was crazy because you got that sense and feeling, right? You looked at the clock, and I'm like, all right, you know, I was like, Anna, sit down, check this out. I'm thinking, you knew he was going to take a shot. You knew he was going to take a shot down there. You could just feel it. But I think that's what makes it even more remarkable. Everyone knows a shot's coming, and in his fashion, he finds a way to take a play that was supposed to be for Cameron Meredith and find the right guy, which was Tre'Quan Smith. And I guess in the years that you've covered him, and then we'll move on to the Tigers after this, is that the one thing that stands out to you? To me, it is. It's the decision-making, right, that stands out. The guy, more often than not, just makes the right decisions.
Sure. And you know, he's a coach on the field. He just knows where the receivers are going to be, and in many ways he keeps getting better. And you know, it's something to be said to be with an offensive mastermind like Peyton for so long. But Brees also has a sense of the moment. You know, he talks about rehearsing how it might go during the week. You know, and I just think it was cool that he broke the record on a play that really kind of sealed the game too, and when you score a touchdown, you get a natural break in TV time, so he was able to do all the celebrating, you know, go see his family and everything. So, and then he got it over the half. So then the Saints second half they could just worry about winning the game.
Well, that's incredible to me because, of course, in typical Drew Brees fashion, he went over every scenario, what it'd be like to actually break the game so he could be ready for it. LSU drops to 13 in the AP, 12 in the coaches poll. That's not bad. Look, I still think it was a game that I thought going into it to see, okay, are they an elite team? Are they there yet? Or do they still need some steps? And look, there's still some steps. The offensive line, I think, was a huge issue there. And it's still, you know, I mean, look, you take care of Alabama and Georgia, you can be a playoff team, but I don't know if they're there just yet. What did you take out of the loss against Florida?
Well, I thought they played very well, and it's not like a loss to get all upset about. I mean, it was a close game. They could have won it. You know, they had the ball ready for a game winning field goal drive at the end, but. You know, I think they might have been exposed a little bit, but really, to me, it kind of brought things back down to earth a little bit. I'm guilty of getting a little too caught up in the moment. Mm-hmm. You know, my original prediction going into the season was that they would lose to Florida. And, you know, the LSU's offensive line, I think they've done a great job of kind of patching it together, but that was exposed. In that game, you know, they couldn't protect the passer. Ed Orgeron made that very clear. And that's probably going to come back to haunt them in some other games, particularly Alabama and maybe even Texas A&M. And Georgia's not a great pass rush team unless they decide to become one this week. But, you know, it exposed some things. But I think they could still have a better season than expected. I think they can still be in the 2-3 loss range. And I really think they're going to beat Georgia. Now, I don't think they have as good a chance against some other teams as I thought before the Florida game, but I still think they can beat Georgia.
Wow. So you think the Bulldogs go down this week?
I do. And I predicted LSU to beat Georgia before the season. At this point, when I predicted every game, I had them losing to Auburn and Florida at this point and then mm-hmm. beat Georgia. I think because where the schedule falls, and Georgia hasn't played here in a long time. You know, none of these players have played at LSU. It's something to get used to as a player, and they're not used to it. And every now and then, Tiger Stadium and the fan base, they have one of those games that make Tiger Stadium the legend that it is. A lot of times it's not a legend. It's just a regular place. But this is going to be one of those games, I think, that Tiger Stadium comes alive because it's a big time game, and it's not Alabama, and I think that means something because you know they've lost to Alabama so many times. You know the fans and the team doesn't really go into that game with the right frame of mind. I think over the last few years, but Georgia's different. You know, it's almost like playing a non conference game because they haven't right. played Georgia and Baton Rouge in 10 years. So I think this game is going to be kind of special from the LSU lore standpoint, and it fits well for LSU because Georgia's not a great pass rushing team, so LSU might be able to negotiate that defensive line better, and LSU's defense has to play better.
All right, so we have a vote on a Tuesday, so we start turning the page over to the LSU Georgia game, 2:30 kickoff. Mr. Glenn Gilbo at LSU Beat Tweet says, go Tigers on this one. He thinks that can maybe happen. All right, Glenn, we'll see. We'll see next Tuesday when we chat with you, man.
Okay, and the key is that really LSU should have won that game if their defense would have played better against
yep.
Florida. The offense put up enough points. So if the defense improves, I think they can beat Georgia.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate it, man.
All right, buddy.
At LSU Beat Tweet. You know, Jordan, that's the thing. When I watched that game, I was disappointed they could pull out, but I never really thought, like, I'm watching that game, and like, I thought Florida was the better overall team. Penalties killed them. I thought penalties, the things that they did well at Auburn didn't go so well at Florida. It was the turnover. It was penalties. I mean, LSU would get a first down.
Florida's punter was just unbelievable.
Yeah, but again, that's what I'm saying. Those little things, you know, and the game was that close. And at the end of the day, you got to step up, make a play, and I think on certain drives and certain occasions, you have to give credit to the other staff. I thought there was some good coaching going back and forth. You know, if you're feeling that kind of pressure,
Man. I think Joe Burrow needs to get the ball off in that last drive.
Well, but here's the thing. Again, you can help. Screens. Right. Where's the screens? Right. You know, roll the pocket out. Keep the
he
black
had an amazing
side.
Game. I'm not trying to bash him.
Like I said, I thought, for the most part, that's a game that gives me hope. You and I have talked about this because you and I had a little fun last week with give me the Tigers over the guys. And I'm like, they're not there just yet. Just trust me on this. But.
They're there.
No, they're not. But you can say this. I will give you this because I do think this. I think you can absolutely make the case and statement that they're absolutely battling. If not, maybe say they're the second best team in the SEC West.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
like Auburn does not look good, right? They just don't look good.
No.
Okay. You hammered Ole Miss. A&M. I'm still going to probably side with the Tigers.
I mean, Kentucky.
I haven't seen Mississippi State yet, you know,
Kentucky
but
just lost.
They're up and down. No. Well, SEC West.
Kentucky's okay. SEC West. All
right. Right. So, I thought coming to the season, your number one goal with the 2019 class being ready to come in. The number one thing you had to do was not get waxed this year, left and right. Right? You get what I'm getting at? You couldn't lose those verbal commitments in order to keep this great 2019 class you had. Right? You look competitive. You maybe upset one of those two big boys. You got it. Okay, now you can sell that. You can get excitement because, remember, one of the things I said, an X factor is this fan base. You cannot get down on a quarterback or a player after a game or two and fight them like last year. Four games in. Garrett, everybody. Oliva's a bum. O's a bum. You're a bum. The mascot's a bum. You can't. You cannot do that because as a father, I'm not sending my kid to that. You know, you can't overreact after a game or two. You got to understand it takes a process to get that. And I think what you're seeing this year, you are seeing that process. And it is going in the right direction. You finish out this year, maybe as Glenn just said, you upset the Bulldogs. And the only loss in the SEC West is Alabama, who goes on to win the national championship. And in that game, you're the only team that keeps it to within 20. Hey, that gives me hope to make you go, hey, some of those guys in 2019 that come in that can be difference makers. Burrow coming back for next year. You know what I'm getting at? These young receivers like Chase and stuff. Now you gave me some reason for hope. So you didn't have that last year, even though they won a good amount of games. You get what I'm getting at? There's a lot more doubt last year, I think, even at this point. Like, I don't feel like the fan base was like, oh, we
the
fan,
yeah,
Florida.
Yeah, I was there.
I
the
don't
fan
feel
base
that.
Was just completely.
No, they were like, all right, bring on
screw
Georgia.
This, yeah.
Yeah, let's see what we can do against Georgia. And that tells me the barometer switched. Right?
Oh, it definitely has switched
okay.
Since last season.
When we come back, touch them all. Timmy Grubbs, a huge game tonight. Red Sox and Yankees. Alex Bregman made a point. See if you can pull up the bite of him with Scott Van Pelt for me before we get Tim Grubbs on. And he has every right to be. We talked about this last week. Well, the Astros played day games in all of their playoff games. They're a defending world champions. They got no night games. I get the other markets are bigger, maybe, but they're the world champs, man. They play day games. So we'll talk to them about the baseball playoffs. The Dodgers have moved on. And we'll do all that next on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report is sponsored by New Orleans Harley-Davidson, the biggest selection of Harleys in the South, located at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
It's a night Saints fans won't forget.
Three, wide open. Wide open!
Quarterback Drew Brees became the NFL's all-time passing leader in yardage in the second quarter, passing Peyton Manning.
For 1,000 days, I've held the record for all-time passing yards in the NFL. And I gotta tell you, it's been the greatest 1,000 days of my life. And thanks to you, that's over now, and you've ruined that for me.
The Saints hammered Washington 43-19, the man of the night.
I don't think it could have happened in any better fashion than it did, and to have then that moment with my teammates on the field, the offensive line, I mean, it played out even greater than I ever could have imagined. To then have the moment with Sean and Mr. Baker from the Hall of Fame and then my boys and my wife, Brittany, and my daughter, Rylan, that was incredible.
The Saints head into the bye week at 4-1. Next opponent in 2 weeks at Baltimore. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Report has been brought to you by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. The greatest bikes in the world are right here in your backyard at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
Hey everyone, it's Gus Cattingale, and what a great time to stop by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. They have the greatest bikes of all time arriving daily and available with 1% financing. New Orleans Harley's also giving away tickets to the World War II Air, Sea, and Land Fest to anyone who test rides a 2019. And on Fridays and Saturdays, you can put your name in the hat for the motorcycle giveaway that will be drawn during the annual Halloween party Thursday the 25th. Get out to New Orleans Harley and get in on the action. While supplies last, financing with approved credit, see dealer for details.
Hello, friends. I am Bob Duway, a candidate for the Greater Lafourche Port Commission, seat G number 71. For more information on my candidacy, please call 856-8005. Paid for by the Bob Duway Campaign Fund.
Joe's Septic Contractors has specialized in the installation of sewage systems, steel drains, and vacuum truck services for over 40 years. They've grown into one of the largest sanitation companies in Louisiana. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today about their rentals on portable toilets, holding tanks, iron hand wash stations, and air-conditioned restroom trailers for your next event. Call Joe's Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit their website at www.joeseptic.com.
Good luck to Mason Boudreaux, number 32. Go Colonels!
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingale on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Fly ball, well hit, right center field, and Juan Diaz can touch the ball.
Ah, yes, the annual part of our conversation with at Mr. Tim Grubbs. The way to follow Tim Grubbs on Twitter, where Tim Joey joins me in the offseason to watch the rest of the team play in the postseason as the Cubs and Indians.
I'm still alive.
I know. I mean, thanks for showing up. Essentially, throw in the Braves in there. Thanks for showing up. That was nice of you. My goodness. Were you surprised? Sweeps of the Indians and Braves.
Very surprised. You know, I was on your show last Tuesday. And,
yeah.
I thought the best of the division series would be Indians Astros. And, well, that was far from it. Obviously, it was a sweep. So that'll show you right there. I really thought Cleveland's bullpen, I thought Cleveland's pitching would hang in there. I mean, I did think Houston would probably advance, but I thought it would be a great series. And, you know, yesterday, I got to see a good bit of yesterday's game. It was good for about six or seven innings, and then it really went the other direction. I'm a little surprised. I'm not really surprised. The Dodgers, Graps, Dodgers are loaded. I had a feeling that they would do quick work of Atlanta. If you break down the Braves' season, they cleaned up. They beat up on a lot of teams in their division. They struggled against teams that were above 500, and, you know, in the end, it did kind of caught up with them. But they're definitely heading in the right direction. They got a lot of young players, and I think the Braves are certainly going to be a force to deal with in the future in the National League East.
I'll say one thing for sure, Tim. It's almost like that happened with the Dodgers, right? I mean, it's just the it flipped. All of a sudden, there's fans in the stands. That's right, Todd. I threw a shot at you. No, it was crazy because, like, man, they look dominant. I mean, they look like the team last year that went to the World Series.
Yeah, no, and I, you know, they got off to such a bad start in April, and, you know, and then they had a little bit of downspin in the middle of the season. I think there is something to be said about that. When you play so many important games in September and October, and, you know, the ballparks are packed, and, you know, there's so much energy. And then you roll to the next season, and it's April, and you have a 162-game regular season ahead of you, and, you know, the ballpark is a quarter full, and you know that if you lose today, it's not the end of the world. I think it's hard for those guys to turn the switch on. You know, I mean, you shouldn't be motivated by that. It should never have come to that. But a lot of times, I think, with these teams, with the way postseason baseball is, the way we're watching every pitch and analyzing everything, when you flip the page and get back to regular season, it's hard for these guys to be ready to go. And I think it was a little bit I mean, the Dodgers struggled this year, and I think now that they're on the big stage, they showed what they can do in quick work as the Atlanta Braves.
How surprised were you what took place in the Bronx last night?
Well, I do think, and you never want to just say, hey, you know, all right, we're going to throw this game away and, you know, be ready to go tomorrow. I mean, the one thing is when you've got lineups like the Red Sox do and like the Yankees do, and, you know, I wouldn't rule it out. The Dodgers have a potent lineup too, and so does Houston. You know, when something goes wrong and it all starts to fall apart, you know, I mean, they obviously pitched a position player. It was only like the third time in postseason history a position player had ever pitched in a game like that. I'm a little surprised it got so ugly, but I also am a person that thinks that I wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees, if CC Sabathia has a great start tonight, if the Yankees send it back to Fenway, you know, for game five. But it doesn't matter, you know, what the difference in scores are. You just have to win 3 out of 5. You don't have to win 16-1 or anything like that, but I mean, both teams are potent. I do think the Yankees will make it five games, and I think they'll be hungry here tonight.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, we talked last week. I always like it when the Yankees are in that postseason. That's why I guess I was a little disappointed yesterday. I love that atmosphere, even though that park's so different. I guess since those seats are $1 million per behind the home plate, it's always empty. You know, and I do love the old stadium, kind of that sound and how it got into it. But I'll say this, look, Houston and Alex Bregman have a pretty good point. They dispatched, you know, the Indians, and he was a little ticked off. Were you surprised that they didn't play a night game?
When I was on your show last week, I said that, you know, I had a feeling that Houston was going to get crushed with day games because it's this whole I-95. You know, I mean, they do have a good point. But they know where the TV ratings are. Even though Houston is probably still the best team in baseball, they are the defending World Series champions. They know that eyeballs watch, you know, the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees. They're going to watch the Chicago Cubs. They're going to watch the Los Angeles Dodgers. Those are big teams that are just ratings gold, just like they are in the NFL. There's, you know, Dallas gets great ratings all the time whenever on, whether they're good or not. There's just certain, there's just certain things that the ESPNs and the, you know, the networks do to drive ratings. And, you know, I kind of get it. I mean, if you would have put the Astros-Indians game yesterday up against Monday Night Football, I don't know what the ratings would have been, even though that it's going to be tough to revise, you know, because that Yankee, I mean, I know as a person who was really interested in baseball, I mean, I had that baseball game turned off pretty quick. I mean, my eyes were on Drew Brees, and, I knew the game was over pretty fast in that game. So the ratings evaluation is going to be tough to gauge. But, you know, baseball's trying to get viewers and trying to get people to watch their games. But, I mean, they do have a valuable, you know, that's a valid argument. You know, I mean, they to be dumped in day games every day in the postseason, I think it's kind of crazy the way things fell for them. But I'm not surprised. And, well, they won't have to worry about it in the next round or, you know, if they advance to the World Series, everything will be under the light.
That's what he had to say after the game with Scott Van Pelt wearing goggles while beer was being sprayed on him.
Thank you. And I want to end with saying one thing. Does Floyd Mayweather fight the first fight of the night, or is he the main event? Ooh. I mean, does Tiger Woods tee off at 8 a.m.? It's about time the Showstros play on primetime television, so we're looking forward to the ALCS.
The Showstros. I like that. No, I tell you what, that guy's been amazing in the postseason. He's been really showing up there. So Dodgers and Brewers do start later on in the week on Friday. Milwaukee, man, looks just – they look awfully strong. I think this series could go 6, if not 7.
Oh, I think it's going to go deep. I mean, you take a look at what the Brewers did. The Rockies went toe-to-toe with the Los Angeles Dodgers all season, and they needed a 163rd game to determine who the winner was, and they scored one run in that series. I mean, that can kind of give you an idea of how good. I mean, I know the household names are not there in Milwaukee. I mean, you're not going to be able to rally off a bunch of the Brewers' names and the pitchers and all that sort of stuff. They haven't been on TV that much. They don't have the national war and the draw that the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Yankees or the Red Sox have. But I think Milwaukee's really loaded. I mean, I think the Dodgers are too, and I think it is going to go a series that's going to go deep. I mean, Milwaukee has the home field advantage. You know, Ryu, we saw pitch game one, pitch lights out at Dodger Stadium. If you take a look at his splits, that guy only pitches well at home. you know, I think his difference in ERA between home and away is drastic. So, Christian Yelich and Ryan Braun, and I think they're ready to go in Milwaukee. I was kind of hoping for Joey's Indians and the Brewers to make the World Series so we could see the Bob Uecker Bowl, but obviously that's not going to happen. Uecker, the voice of the Brewers, and of course most
right.
people think of him as the voice of the Indians just from the movie Major League, but not going to happen. But I do think the Brewers have a real good shot.
This should be easy for us, Tim. Go AL, right? I mean, our owner here at ESPN New Orleans is a Red Sox fan, so that's good for him. It'd be good for me to root for them. And then also for the Astros, that's great because I cannot root for the Brewers and knock this out. And I absolutely won't root for the Graf. No, that's not happening. So go AL.
I'm with the Graf.
Go AL. Yeah, no, I could see your point there. No, but I think both series, I mean, no matter who it is, if it's the Red Sox or Yankees, and,
right.
you know, obviously the Red Sox have a decided advantage at this point. After winning last night, but I think there are going to be some great ALCS and NLCS. I think we've got, four of the best teams for, when it's all decided. I think it is. I mean, I think the Yankees, Red Sox, I mean, the Red Sox proved 108 wins all year. The Yankees were right on their tails, and I thought this would be a great series. And the games really haven't been, but maybe tonight will be different, and maybe game five will be different as well.
All right, Tim, as always, man, appreciate when you join us. We'll talk again next Tuesday.
All right, sounds good, and enjoy the games. I'm looking forward to a – hopefully the Yankees can go another day. I mean, I don't want to have nothing to watch all week.
That's right. No, I hear you. Look, we'll get together maybe when the AL and NLCSs start. We'll get together and go have a burger, if you know what I mean.
All right, sounds good, Gus.
Sounds good, man. Good to talk to you. At Mr. Tim Grubbs, the way to follow over on Twitter. What are you smirking at over there? I can see it off the corner of my eye. It's annoying. Why are you smirking?
I was just thinking about other stuff. But this article is also kind of funny.
Uh-huh.
NFL players, comma, LeBron reacts to Drew Brees becoming all-time passing leader.
Hey, you know what? Who cares if Aikman and Marino and Elway
Some
and
the
all that?
Brett Favre.
Yeah, that's fine.
Barack Obama.
What does LeBron think?
What does LeBron think?
So what does he think?
Well, this is what he says. Salute at Drew Brees.
Salute.
Congrats on achieving the milestone. Sheesh, that's a lot of yards.
There you go. It is. A lot of yards. And he has the emoji game going, too.
Prayer hands or the high five, whatever one you want to.
That's prayer hands.
No, I've heard it's the high. It's a high five, but it's.
No, those are prayer hands.
No, I heard it's a high five, but you could.
Who told you that's a high five?
It's. I think Apple actually said those are high fives, but you could see it however
Who
you want to.
Who high fives
see.
Themselves?
That's what I'm saying, but you could see it however you want to see it. I mean, I'm just going with what I've heard other people say. And then he has a football emoji, and then he has the crown emoji.
Those are prayer hands.
I don't know. I mean,
that's a very awkward high five.
Plus, they have the same shirt. I think it's the prayer hands, too.
It's prayer hands.
But I've heard it's a high five.
It would be different color sleeves on the hands.
That's what I'm saying, but
exactly.
You never know.
No, I do know. That would be weird. Like, if I high five you, the palm is up. No, that's not a high five. It's a religious high five. All right, we'll come back a little more sound. We'll go in and around the locker room. Cameron Jordan has some stuff. How about Marcus Davenport, man? A few words. Man, if he won't take credit at all, huh?
He's very humble.
He really is. Hey, how was that sack? Well, you know.
Well, to the left of him was Cameron Jordan, and everyone was surrounding him. And Cameron Jordan was in his pajamas, his gold pajamas.
He had gold pajamas. Well, yeah. It was a night game, you know? Yeah. Why not? But you know who wasn't in his pajamas? Michael Thomas. I mean, the Twitter rant. 5:38 a.m. is when it ended between him and Josh Norman. Hey, you know what?
Good to see him tweeting in his bed.
I love it. That's right. He was just playing Fortnite, like you said, just hanging out.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, drinking a little bit of tequila.
Now, that's Drew's tequila. That's not.
He could have shared it.
Well, we don't know if he shared. That's Drew's tequila. Sports Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
T-Bob here, and when my AC needs repair, I call the experts at River City's Total Maintenance. They're fast, they're professional, and they'll come out the same day you call. That's right, the same day, and they get the job done right. Couple that with the 2 and 3 year warranties and a 100% money back guarantee, and you cannot go wrong, my friends. So if you need same day AC service, critical in this heat, call River City's Total Maintenance at 504-841-3300. That's 841-3300, and tell them T-Bob sent you.
Peter Don's Carts and Accessories, where you get the lowest prices in the area on golf carts and other motorized carts, as well as parts. Peter Don's sells refurbished gas and electric club cars and EZ-Gos, and wait until you see the huge showroom filled with parts and accessories. Now through October 31st, the T105 Trojan 6-volt battery is just $99. Peter Don's gives you more for less and the best selection of motorized vehicles, plus that 1-year warranty on all parts. Peter Don's, West Main in Houma.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Do you know if you have the right insurance coverage? Or do you feel like you're paying too much for your car, home, or business insurance? Look, if you hesitated, you need to contact Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Owner or agent Price Bourgeois will personally help you find the coverage you need. And because he's an independent agent, he can find the right coverage that fits your budget. Hey, there shouldn't be any doubts about your insurance. Call 985-803-8999 or log on to 123myquote.com. Bourgeois Insurance in Thibodaux. Home, commercial, auto.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Running back Mark Ingram had a nice night last night. His return to the Saints, 2 touchdowns, 53 yards on 16 carries.
It's just another day of being a teammate of Drew. Like I said, man, he's broken so many records. I remember the one year he threw the touchdown to Devery Henderson. I think that was the most in a season. And, you know, just being able to see him, how he's worked so hard every single day. You know, I've been with him for my 8th season now, and he hasn't changed one bit. He's still doing his routine with his shoulders. You know, he's doing his thing, you know, going through his reads, checking the ball down. Always in the film room, always knows what to do, always knows what everybody else is doing. And so for him just to put in that work, that dedication, he deserves all the success that he's had, all the success that he will continue to have. It's just a blessing to be a part, you know, of all his success, man. It's history. Like, I'll be able to tell my kids, hey, I played with that dude, the guy who threw for the most yards ever in the NFL. Like, yeah. I played with him, okay? He handed me the ball a couple times. So, yeah, congratulations to Drew Brees and his family. They deserve it.
He is Mark Ingram on that. So this was the NFL Network. This is the one I've been talking to my lemon. Oh, yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew, one of the guys. That apparently one. This was taken on. Ryan on Twitter, at Dat Boy Wolf, recorded off of his TV, so I'll try to get the sound as best as I can, and then it's been picked up. But this was their take.
That wow you. Aaron Rodgers does things that wow you. Drew Brees sits back in the pocket and throws that people think that they can make at home, so it's not really nothing
bad. He makes it look so easy.
Yeah, exactly. He does, but I'm saying, like, sometimes people don't like that, or people don't put you in the top five because, I mean, you're not doing nothing spectacular. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees sits back in the pocket for 5 days, he looks up, open his little shoulder pads and helmet, and he throws the ball to the open person. He don't really make no throws outside the pocket or do anything spectacular like that, so that's why he's not up there in the top five.
Record-breaking play, not a wild factor type of play, MJ.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. When you talk about the greats, you talk about Joe Montana and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, they won. And they won consistently. And I think that's where you want to see Drew Brees getting that 14-win seasons, multiple years back to back to back. You don't see that as much. When you talk about quarterbacks, you talk about championships. That's why Dan Marino is on the bottom of those lists. You rarely hear Dan Marino. He throws for a ton of yards, but he never won the big one. I mean, he won multiple big ones in order to be up there with the greats.
All right, well, maybe if New Orleans Saints are able to get their second Super Bowl
title, they get a chance.
They put another Vince Lombardi trophy in that trophy case, you will see.
All right, so the point in Ryan Clark today on First Take kind of had similar things as well. Not flashy.
Brian kind of had a good point that
didn't really talk, you know, he doesn't, but some of that stuff there were, he makes throws or people at home think he can make. You're discounting the fact that he's winning the play before the play is snapped. The number one thing that makes a quarterback successful is knowing where the bleep you're going with the football. I don't care what arm strength you have, how fast you can run, how flat, what your look is. You got eye black, you got a hair, doesn't matter. Do you know where you're going with the football? In the NFL, if you don't, you're dead. Like, you're dead. Zach Streif's talked about it now that he's broadcasting. Stitch Combs talked about it. A bunch of linemen have talked about the amount that Drew Brees takes off of their shoulders and onto his shoulders in protection calls and understanding where the defense is. You heard Ingram right there say he knows where everybody, he helps everybody on that offense. And that's a bad thing? Like, I get, I guess, maybe to an extent what they're trying to say, that he doesn't look like Favre or Rodgers can backpedal and fling it 80 yards and it's a wow factor. But that's just idiotic analysis to me. It's absolutely idiotic analysis to me. Along the lines of what, you know, Fletcher was saying earlier today, like, I'm a producer for the NFL Network. I'm like, guys, thanks. And I need to find some new. It's just, that's just, that's ridiculous. The one guy that says, we never really makes throws outside of the pocket. It's almost annoying to a sense where I remember Brian and I have sat here on Tuesdays in the past where we try these NFL analysts, right? Polian, all these guys. Well, you know, he's got to prove to me he's a pocket passer. Why has he got to prove to you he's a pocket passer? Baker Mayfield's got to prove that he can make the does it work? Does it succeed? Can he do certain things that make him, does he win games? Does he win games? He won them in college. He has a presence about him. He can move the team up and down the field. I mean, you're going to sit there and tell me what Baker's doing in Cleveland. Well, you know, he's not prototypical. It was Mahomes. Mahomes is nothing prototypical what he's doing right now. If you're telling me, well, he reminds me of Favre. People crushed Favre because he's never in the pocket. It's always shocked me how old-time fuddy-duddies want people. No, you know, I know he's got speed. Can he make the read? Can he get under can he get under center? What if he doesn't need to be under center? 4K and I have this argument every Thursday. I'm like, dude, most of the NFL is shotgun right now. Almost every snap is shotgun. All these young QBs, Goff's never under center. How idiotic would you be if you're McVay and go, no, 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 no. Get in there. Go put your hand right up there. Yeah. Say hut hut from there, then drop back instead of just, you know, here's the ball, snap and go. It's ridiculous. And you're going to tell me because Brees isn't running 5 yards outside the pocket and throwing in his run, that's not a good throw, a good read? It's I'm astounded by that. And the fact you can say, oh, folks at home can make that throw. Why? Because he made the throw to Tre'Quan Smith for the second touchdown where he dropped it over the DB's hand. Look easy. Did you notice the touchdown pass to Tre'Quan Smith? He had to throw it over three people into the sideline for Tre'Quan to get it.
Basically on his tippy toes.
Right. First off, to say that, you have no idea that a 10-yard out route is probably about 30 to 40 yards. Right. If you're in the middle of the field, I mean, if you're on the far left hash mark, I challenge anybody listening, go throw a 10-yard out route from the furthest yard mark, you know, hash mark, like to the far side on the opposite end. It's like a 50-yard throw. It's not, you know, 10 yards. It's 10 that way, you know, horizontally, and then vertically, and then you got a horizontal, I don't know, 20, 30 yards on a line. Or at the right arc and angle. It's just unbelievable to me. Shane, what you got for us in the Sports Hangover?
Hey, Gus, how you doing?
Good, man.
I just think a lot of it is people are just jealous, and they just hating on the man. I mean, Maurice Jones-Drew, what did he do with the Jacksonville Jaguars? Nothing. So for him to sit up there and say something like that, they just hating on the man. I mean, to me, Drew Brees is the best quarterback of all time. He's broken pretty much every passing or record, every record a quarterback can have besides the touchdown record, which that's getting ready to happen soon, too. You know, so, I mean, yeah, in my book, he's the best quarterback to ever play the game. And so somebody else can come up there and beat the records under the odds and the everything that he's had to go against. I mean, he didn't have a powerhouse team like the Patriots. He didn't have a powerhouse team like Brett Favre did. He didn't have, you know, what Peyton Manning had. You know, he had to work for everything he got. So, yeah, for these guys to sit here and hate on him and say he's not this, he's not that, I just think a lot of them's mad because they didn't accomplish the record, or, you know, because they just don't like the guy, and they, you know, it's disrespectful. Show the man some respect.
I mean, that's what I'm getting at, man. At the end of the day, if you're going to sit there and go, oh, it's a passing league. Okay, that's fine. Everybody has the same rules, the same passing league and all of that. And I don't see everybody else. Again, he's the only guy that has 5,000 yards five times. Only one. Everybody else has the same league to go through. Well, it's the system. Well, I mean, what do you want him to do? Hand the ball off when he can throw it?
He goes to work every day and he plays. That's his job to do that. It's not his fault the system's like that. He just goes out and does what he's supposed to do. And everybody's like, oh, you can't put him here. Well, yeah, at the end of the day, a Super Bowl matters. Yeah, but, I mean, look at the picture now. He's got one Super Bowl. He's done this. He's done that. He's knocked out the greats of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I mean, what else does this guy have to do?
I have to give him, Shane, some edge on the fact that he doesn't have the physical attributes that a lot of these other quarterbacks have. You know what I'm saying? He's had to work to get to that point, maybe a little hard. I'm not saying Elway did, but they could have used their talents. But you see it with, you know, Cam Newton all the time, just falling backwards. He has such arm strength, he can get the ball down there. If Drew doesn't properly use the mechanics, it's a pick. I mean, it's what happens, or an incompletion.
Right, absolutely. It just, like I said, in the close, Gus, everybody just needs to show the man the respect. He's earned it, and right now he's the best. And in order to be the best, you got to beat the best. And so somebody else can step up in here and beat him, then, hey, you got to give the man, you got to give props what props is due.
Well,
thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Shane, as we bring in Josh, 800-998-1003. I mean, Screamin' A was the only one defending him today. Ryan Clark basically dismissed him, and I'm going to play what Max Kellerman had to say. Josh, what you got?
I got a couple things. Maurice Jones-Drew was on a one-season winning team for the Jags. He has no idea what winning's all about. When it comes to the other quarterback, obviously everyone's going to talk about the stats, but Drew Brees has done it without any other Hall of Famers. We can talk about Kamara and Thomas possibly being in a discussion, but Brady, all these other quarterbacks they've had Hall of Famers on the offense and defense. And also, congrats on Jordan, 3 wins in the league. Bus driver's coming for it. Who that, baby? Let's go.
Oh. I just realized somebody called yesterday on the show. I don't know if you listened. Apparently, my wife hasn't started a defense all season, and she's 3-0.
Yeah, why does she have to?
I'm like, Anna, you realize...
Was that Michael? Michael on Twitter, Michael Kleber on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, you know, you can start a defense.
Yeah, he sent me something. He's like, tell him to pick up a defense, because I guess that would hurt her more than, you know, if they did that.
We'll take a quick break. We come back. Max Kellerman, where does Drew Brees rank all time? Sports Hangover put our thing, wraps on the show. Don't forget tonight, Red Sox Yankees, 6:30 right here on ESPN New Orleans. Coverage starts right after Matt Moskonen after further review with the pregame. Boston's up 2-1. Prep weekly tomorrow with Casey and Marlin. Friday, South Lafouche, Morgan City. Nichols at Abilene Christian Saturday at 2:30. And then Bucks Falcons Sunday at noon, all ahead on ESPN New Orleans. And of course, Thursday, come join us up at the dock. John Forcade and myself. It's a really cool restaurant right off the Highway 11 bridge in Slidell. We're there each and every Thursday night, 6 to 8 o'clock, to kick off the next week in the NFL and in college football. We'll be there throughout the football season. Stop on by, have some seafood nachos, hang out with us. And then, of course, for lunch, if you can't make it out there, come to Vinny's. It really is good food, I promise you. You'll enjoy your lunch there. Cajun Goat was there last week. You missed Cajun Goat, by the way.
Really?
Yep. And the wings that I had for you. I sent you a picture, by the way, too. You saw it?
I thought they didn't have wings there.
Gotta go.
Apparently
be right
they
back.
Got wings now.
Sports Hangover.
Sink your teeth into one of the Dugout and Thibodeau's famous mouth-watering Grand Slam burgers or their famous homemade roast beef po' boys. The Dugout also has frappes, smoothies, and a variety of specialty sundaes and offers over 85 snowball flavors to choose from. Any one can be made sugar-free. Follow them on Facebook. First 10 customers to come in and mention you heard this commercial on ESPN Radio will win a free Dugout t-shirt. Visit the Dugout of Thibodeau, located on St. Mary Street in Thibodeau. Kaboom! It's a blowout sale at Homeless Clayton Homes. Single wide start as low as $36,000. And double wide start at $55,000. Multiple installation packages are available. Visit Homeless Clayton Homes on Facebook to schedule your appointment today. These ain't your grandma's trailers. Don't miss out on the best deal of the year. Dial 985-872-2850. That's 985-872-2850. If your old trailer house has got to go...
Drop-In Fix is Bayou Country's premier technology one-stop shop. From iPhones and Galaxies to iPads and tablets, Drop-In Fix has quick turnaround service for all your devices. Stop by our Houma or Thibodeau locations or find us on Facebook. From laptops and desktops to TVs and printers, Drop-In Fix can get your devices back up and running in no time. Drop-In Fix, the Tri-Parish's premier technology one-stop shop.
Frank's Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's Catering Department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
Listen to Against the Spread.
Against the Spread.
Saturday mornings at 9:30 with Sean Salisbury and Kevin Todd, the nation's number one handicapper. Kevin turns outcomes into incomes. It's Against the Spread. Saturday mornings, 9:30 on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh, big talker, eh?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
In my mind, I was like, man, if I get it, I got to go hide the ball and get Drew the dummy ball. But nah, it was like, we was thinking about it, but we wasn't really talking about it. Like, man, who was going to get it? You know, we was ready. We knew he was going to break it tonight. That was kind of the theme. Like, I think, you know, Coach wanted him to get that tonight. And I know he wanted to get it tonight. Even if he said he wasn't talking about it, think about it, he would think about that.
Yeah. That's Alvin Kamara on the Drew Brees record. Traquan Smith, who caught the pass, did he ever think he'd be the guy to make the catch?
Not at all. It's just something very special that happened tonight, and you know, I thank God it was me. Now I'm finally gonna be like down in history with somebody famous in the Hall of Fame with Drew Brees. So I'm glad it happened to me the way it did tonight.
Cameron Meredith.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, the people around him, we all want to make him look good and make sure everything goes right for him. So, you know, especially when we have a quarterback like that who's well-respected, well-renowned, and, you know, who's been in the position he has for such a long time, you know, you go out there just to, you know, execute. So I'm glad we got to get the W and the record tonight.
Not enough time since we have to hit the top of the hour break here and bring in Matt Moscone after further review, but we're going to lead off tomorrow with Max Kellerman's take. We just listened to it. He went through more than 10 quarterbacks, and he gave his reason. So we'll have fun with that. See you tomorrow on ESPN New Orleans. Ball.